Hey, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Crimes, Killers, Cults.
And beer.
And beer. true crime from the... Did you get any on you?
No.
Okay, good. That's good. I was worried.
I'm good with sound effects.
But, oh, man. True crime from the point of view of two crazy Florida men. It doesn't really have a good ring to it. I'd need to come up with something better. It really, I mean, the old one, just two crazy Florida men drinking beer and talking about true crime. That's got a nice vibe.
Yes. And it's catching.
Yeah. True crime. I'm just going to go back to the old one. Just two crazy Florida men drinking beer and talking about true crime. Even though I'm not drinking beer. So whatever.
Doesn't matter.
I'm a phony. I'm a big fat phony.
So is all Hollywood and mainstream media.
Yeah, right. Did you hear Robert De Niro's leaving the country? You know, because
I heard that. Yeah, along with Madonna and Whoopi. And,
yeah, they're Robert De Niro's last. Yeah. Well, he's not getting enough respect. It's like, dude. Yeah, cry me a fucking river with your gazillions of dollars and all that shit.
Yeah. Yeah.
Shit on the country that made you that money.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what? Go. Just the truth is, he just wants to get out of California, but he's too afraid to say that publicly. Mm-hmm. I guarantee you that's the case.
Get out of the state. Follow the people who left before you did.
Well, he said he wants to get out of the country because...
Yeah, might be even better.
Yeah, agreed. You know, I and in general don't like actors. So
yeah, it's all a theater.
Anyway, just a quick little bit of ado. This morning there was a glitch in the matrix because I got to bed pretty late last night, and I. You know, when I woke up this morning, I looked over at my clock and it said 10:30. I thought I had slept till 10:30. And then I was like, okay, so I get up and get moving and all that stuff. Then I look at the clock again. It says 9:30.
Hmm.
Like, what?
Eh?
Huh? But it wasn't just my, cause I have a Alexa in the, in my bedroom, one of those Alexa alarm clocks.
Yeah.
And I also obviously have my phone. And they both said, I could have sworn they both said 10:30.
Maybe you slept 11 hours. Did you sleep 11 hours?
No, I slept for about 5 or 6. Anyway, glitch in the matrix.
Yeah.
Okay. We're coming into the last episode of the Canada Binge. This is part one of Willie Picton.
Yeah.
It's going to be a 3-part episode. Possibly a 4. I hope it's not a 4, but there's a possibility that it could be a 4. So. Yeah, this is a big one. So Robert William Picton, a.k.a. Willie or Piggy, one or both of which will be used as his name for the rest of the episode, is a Canadian serial killer, serial rapist, and pig farmer. Was that the West Virginia version of Psycho, the shower scene?
Yeah. Like the ones from Cannibal.
Deliverance.
Well, the one
squeal like a pig, and then Norman Bates with the shower scene. Yeah,
seen the ones from what one was that? It was filmed at the mansion there, Biltmore Estates, there in Asheville, North Carolina. And in that movie, when Hannibal pours the guy in a wheelchair into the pig pen, they eat him up.
Don't know if I've seen that one.
It's not Manhunter, or is it? I forget.
I thought you were on with The Shining, and I was about to be like, "No, that's in Colorado, dude." But he lived in Port Coquitlam, British Columbia, Canada. He is suspected of being one of Canada's most prolific serial killers, and he may have been a cannibal as well, but there's no evidence of him actually being a cannibal. He claims to have sent human remains to meat markets and a rendering plant, which means if that's true, people in the area consumed human remains without knowing it. He became a very wealthy man after he and his siblings inherited the family business and an extremely successful pig farm. And the investigation into his murders was the largest serial killer investigation in Canadian history. There were survivors of his attempted murder, yeah, one of which blew the lid off the case. He had a hard childhood, and his parents were nuts. He didn't believe in hygiene, didn't bathe very much, if at all. But that wouldn't stop him from getting sex workers whenever he wanted, because he was rich and he had access to drugs. And most of his victims were sex workers from Vancouver's downsize East Town district. Downtown East Side district.
Yes. That part of town.
Yeah. It's a very rundown area full of sex workers, homeless, addicts, and overall high crime area. This area is actually the poorest zip code in all of Canada, and collectively the addicts here would use around $200 million a year in drugs.
Whoa. That's a lot.
It's a lot of drugs.
Jeez.
Most of the sex workers here were addicts, and they were either high when they took a trick or they were going through withdrawal. So they weren't very picky when it came to the customers and people with ill intentions who would target these desolate people living here. They pretty much go with anybody. Mm. Well, he would pick up sex workers from there, take them back to the farm, rape and kill them, and then you'd butcher them in a slaughterhouse and dispose of them in several different ways. But he didn't kill every single one. Some he would treat as well as you could expect, and she would make it safely back. And this made people think that he was a safe guy at the beginning.
Yeah.
He was known for his rubber boots that he wore and his stink-ass pickup truck. Some people believe that he had an accomplice or accomplices. And it's extremely likely that his hatred for women stemmed from the way that he was treated by his mother. So this is a mama episode. He was convicted of killing 6 women in 2002 and charged with the murders of 20 others. And those charges were dropped in 2010. But he confessed to 49 murders. But he was charged with second-degree murder, and the most that he could be sentenced with was life with no parole for 25 years, and that means that he could be coming up for parole very soon.
Very soon.
Yeah. Like in the next year or two. This is a huge issue, obviously, because nobody wants him back out on the streets, and even if he is in his 70s, I mean, Mike Tyson's about to fight at 57 years old, and he's probably going to win against some 30-year-old punk that's 30 years younger than he is. So if Willie's released, he could still do some damage if he wanted to. And we'll talk about that in the last episode.
Yeah, especially if you do some personal vendetta type crap, you know. You get out and you're like, you know, I got nothing else to lose. I can either go back in or die.
Yeah. I mean, this guy was, you know, definitely a sadist. I don't think he's getting out. I don't think he'll get parole.
Yeah, well, with some of the case history on some of the judicial systems and stuff like that, some of our past episodes.
Nothing would surprise you.
Exactly. I would not be surprised.
No, I'm still reeling from the cult.
Yeah.
That was insane. So Willie and his brother David took the already successful farm and grew it even more. They also had a nightclub on the property, which was very successful for a while, until it was shut down. That will come in episode 2. If he hadn't been a sadistic murderer, he'd probably be a very popular person locally, but he didn't, and we're going to tell you what happened. I mean, if he had just, you know, he was very wealthy, and you know, he could have just been, even if he didn't like taking baths and everything, he still could have been like a very popular, like, charitable, you know, working with charities and stuff like that. You know, he could have, you know, I mean.
Yeah, if it wasn't for the mother thing, everything would be all hunky dory.
Maybe.
Maybe.
Maybe. You never know.
Yeah.
But
it's either too much or too little. It's like you have to be perfect on that spectrum. It's, I don't know.
Well, I mean, we'll get there.
Yeah.
Willie and his brother David took the, I already said that. This obviously is a well-known heavy hitter, but we had to do a heavy hitter to close out our Canada binge. You know, sure, you've heard other podcasts cover Willie Picton, but you haven't heard our take on it until now.
Oh, yeah. Thinking
this episode will be 3, maybe 4. And who knows, after the series, we might keep going. We might keep going with Canada Source. Who knows?
Yeah, who knows? After this series, we might just keep on going. Drink Canada dry.
I'm apparently colorblind today.
Yeah.
Yeah. But anyway, I promise nothing. If you have any more suggestions for Canadian stories, send them to ckcbpodcast@gmail.com.
Yeah. Or hit us up. Yeah, hit us up on the socials.
Yeah,
definitely.
But not Paul Bernardo and Carlo Homolka. Lesser known ones. The Bernardo and Homolka case is one that we'll get to at some point, and we're not doing 2 heavy hitters in the Canada binge, and I have something really special planned for that episode. And do you know what I mean when I say I have something planned? It means it's going to be something funny.
Yeah. You want me to take that one? I could take that one.
So, Source.
Yeah. Yeah. Source. Sources are the Stephen King novel size book. That's thick. You got one, don't you?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like a phone book. Yeah.
It is. But it's called On the Farm by Stevie Cameron. And that's the only source so far. I haven't used anything else yet so far. there's no need to be with a book with 700 pages and fine print.
Yeah, that's better than Wiki.
Yeah. So Willie Picton was born October 24th, 1949, to Leonard and Louise Picton in Port Coquitlam, British Columbia, which is 27 kilometers east of Vancouver. His parents owned a small 13-acre pig farm. He had an older sister, Linda, and a younger brother, David. And Willie was born with the umbilical cord wrapped around his neck, and lots of people have speculated that may have caused brain damage. However, he had a better than average memory. Like, he remembered things that happened when he was a toddler. Specifically, the first bedroom that he remembered was a converted chicken coop.
Whoa.
That became his room because his mother Louise didn't feel like putting up with his crying.
Wow.
Mom of the year.
Shut up, boy. Yeah. Ooh. That's where it started.
His father, Leonard, had him working as soon as he was old enough to walk. One time he was sitting in the truck that was carrying his pigs, and he accidentally kicked the truck into gear, and it rolled downhill, crashed into a telephone pole, trashed into a telephone pole, and totaled the truck. That was the earliest beating that he remembered.
Yeah. When something like that happens, back traditionally corporal punishment. Yeah. It just,
you're going to remember that.
Yeah.
But when he was 4, his mother Louise caught him smoking a cigarette and forced him to smoke an entire cigar as punishment. And that worked because he never smoked again. And in fact, he never did any drugs of any kind.
Whew. At least something worked.
Yeah. Louise, she was special. She was a strange woman. she and Leonard didn't make an issue about hygiene, and it showed. And you know, most of her teeth had rotted out, although surprisingly, Willie took very good care of his teeth all through his life. And the family rarely bathed, and they were always in dirty clothes. And Louise had had lost a lot of her hair, but she had grown a small clump of hair like a goatee growing out of her chin, and she didn't even care. She didn't shave it or pluck it or anything.
Wow. Yeah. She said, fuck it.
She didn't care. She didn't shave it or pluck it. She said, fuck it. She also waddled like a duck when she walked because all she ever wore were men's rubber boots that were like galoshes that were too big for her. And she wore a dress over men's jeans, and she spoke with a high screech, "You kids get it over here, they're fixing it, slapping." Quack.
Yeah.
Oh, God. That reminds me of, who was it? Another pig farmer. Name's on the tip of my tongue. Mm-hmm. In Indiana, back in like the early 1900s.
Yeah.
I'm having a total brain fart right here. What the hell? Bell Gunness.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, she was described as having a frog-like face. So in that episode, I was reading something by her, like in the voice that I had done for her. And then at the end of it, I went, "Ribbit." So now we've got a frog. Now we've got a duck. Yeah. And if she weighs the same as a duck, then she's... If she weighs the same as a duck, then she's made of wood.
She's a quack.
And therefore...
A witch!
Man, I was trying to feed it to you. You weren't taking it.
Yeah.
We can't use the actual clip from that because we got copyright on YouTube.
Maybe in 50 years, or maybe less than 50 years, public domain.
Well, I'll be dead by then.
Yeah, same here.
Okay, we have a duck, but now we also have a rat, because Leonard Picton was said to have a rat face. No word if there were four turtles growing up on the farm as well. Come on, man. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
I'm looking at some of the pictures of him online at the pig farm. Oh. That way I can kind of relate and go, holy hell.
But, he had a rat face. And as for cleanliness, Louise and Leonard would let the animals roam free wherever they wanted. And it wouldn't be uncommon to see pigs inside the house, tracking in filth, shitting all over the floors. In the house. And it was never cleaned. You know, the family was so used to the smell and immune to it, but obviously everybody who was nearby, they could definitely smell it.
Mm-hmm. Down the street.
Early on, the closest thing to their farm was a mental asylum.
Ooh, that is fitting.
Indeed. But that later turned into a huge hospital. Just a general hospital as well. But the boys would be required to work extremely long hours on the farm. They'd go to school, but only after they had slopped 200 pigs and the cows that they had as well. And they'd go to school smelling like the pig farm, which earned them the distinguished title of Stinky Piggies. Stinky Piggy. Kids aren't original at all. I mean, yeah. Piggy was a nickname that Leonard had for years just because of the fact that he was a pig farmer. You know, the way I described Louise, you know, with the overalls, you know, with the big dress over men's pants and everything, with the galoshes and all that stuff, it makes me think of Leatherface in the original Texas Chainsaw movie.
Oh, yeah.
Because that, I mean, you know, minus the skin mask, it like Leatherface when he's that one scene where he's actually in a dress, you know?
True. Yeah.
But this family could have, I'm not going to say it would have inspired it because this happened after the movie came out, but there's a lot of similarities, which we'll get to between this family and I can't remember the family's name in the Texas Chainsaw movies, but
Ed Gein.
Yeah, but Ed, that story was loosely based on Ed Gein, but I can't remember the name of the families, the family, the Texas Chainsaw family.
Yeah.
But there are some comparisons to Ed Gein and Willie Picton, which we will get to.
Yeah.
But they were bullied by their classmates quite a lot, and it didn't help that the majority of the family in the area were doctors, and most of the kids in schools were kids of doctors. Stuck up, snooty little pipsqueak jackasses that think that, oh, my dad's a doctor. I have a 20,000 square foot house. I have my breakfast served to me on a silver platter. Want some pork from the farm?
Right. I'm feeding you.
I got the pork. You want some pork? Got pork.
Yeah, he had a dirty job, but somebody had to do it.
Boys didn't do very well in school at all, and it should be mentioned that their sister Linda was sent to live with other relatives because Leonard and Louise decided that a pig farm wouldn't really be the good place for a girl to grow up. That might be the only decent thing that those two ever did.
Yeah.
Willie wound up in special education. Leonard and Louise were extremely tough and abusive on top of just being terrible parents in general. They were physically and mentally abusive. But Louise was less physically abusive than Leonard. And Willie didn't talk much. And when he did talk, he had a slur and a speech impediment. And he had kind of a strange bond with his mother. And, you know, just there's like Ed Gein vibes going on here because, you know, Ed Gein's mother treated Ed Gein like total shit. Mm. But Ed Gein still loved her. Hence the Norman Bates character in the Psycho movies. And then, and it's the same thing with Willie Picton and Louise. Willie rarely spoke, but when he did, the words would come out slurred and fast. And there were rumors that when he wanted to hide, he would climb into the carcass of a butchered pig or a cow.
This might smell bad, kid, but it'll keep you warm.
So they use a lightsaber to cut them open.
Yeah.
This might smell bad, kid, but it'll keep you warm. I wonder if he had visions of a dead wizard appear to him when he was in the carcasses.
I don't know.
You will go.
That's
you
the
will.
Thing is, like, how long were they? The animals dead for before, you know,
it was just a rumor. Willie never admitted to that. That was just a rumor going around town, but
that makes sense.
Yeah. But if he did see a vision of a dead wizard guy or whatever, he probably says, "You will go to Wichita." There you will eat cherry pie. That's coming up later. It's in this episode or the next one? I think it's in this one.
Yeah.
It might be. Yeah, it is. Cool. Awesome. It's my favorite part of the story, honestly. But that's likely the last place that Leonard would look to find him. And he felt more comfortable with animals as friends than people. And just to illustrate how much of a prick Leonard was, Willie had no friends. When he was 12 years old, he had saved up $35 and he went to a livestock auction with Leonard. There, he used his own money and bought a 3-week-old white calf. that he loved and he took care of it and he bonded with it, and it was his friend. You know, it was his pet.
Yeah.
One day he came home and he couldn't find his calf, and he searched all over the property, and Leonard says, well, why don't you go look in the barn, eh? Willie did, and he found his calf hanging upside down. Leonard had butchered Willie's calf. Willie was crushed and angry. He didn't talk to anybody for days and everything. And Louise tried to calm him down by offering him $20. You can go buy another calf, quack.
Jeez. Wow. Yeah.
Willie refused. And he said he didn't want any calf. He wanted his calf.
Yeah, I wanted that one.
I wanted that one. That was my calf.
$35. Man, that's cheap.
Yeah. Well, it's back in the 50s.
Yeah.
No, 60s. 60s at this point. Early 60s. He was born in 49. He's 12 years old, so early 60s.
Yeah.
People who knew Willie said that as a kid, he was sweet and likable, but shy. In other words, a ticking time bomb. The incident with the calf may have been the tipping point that made him indifferent to anything and anybody. Anybody? Anybody.
Anybody.
Anybody. Eh? He didn't get attached to anybody or anything because it could be taken from him. And this lack of empathy would serve him well in the coming years. Also, as a teen, he was mauled by a bull, which left a huge scar on his leg. And it was a gradual process that desensitized him to killing pigs. He didn't have any friends other than a girl that he met named Lisa when he was 13 and she was 5. And no, this isn't going where you're thinking. Willie's family sold meat at a local grocery store, and Lisa's family were regular customers. He talked to her, and after he sneaked her a bag of hot dogs, they became friends, and she was also relentlessly bullied. You know, they had, you know, kind of trauma bonding there.
Mm.
Yeah. They lost touch when Willie's parents purchased a much larger farm on the other side of Port Coquitlam, but they would reconnect later on in life. This is when Linda went to live with relatives, and she did very well for herself in life. I think she was became a doctor. She's married with kids, doing really good for herself. I'm sure we'll cover that in part two, yeah, or part three. But no crime, no grime, and no pigs for her.
That's a good thing.
Yeah.
Stay away from that part of bring. Yeah.
Now, the people who sold the Pictons this land thought that they were getting over on them because the majority of the land was marshy and couldn't be used for farming. But the joke was on them because the Pictons, of course, were pig farmers. That's perfect for pigs.
Yeah.
I don't think they have any water moccasins there. They definitely don't have any alligators.
True. Yeah.
But before too long, a new pungent smell would envelop the area. Because at any given time, they had 500 to 700 pigs on the farm.
Whoa.
Go ahead and run the mental illness theater promo.
Hello, I'm Mark.
I'm Gina.
And together we are Mental Illness Theater. Or at least we try.
We try to survive it.
We're the hosts of The Worst, a podcast where I deep dive horrible subjects and tell the story to Gina.
And I tell terrible, tasteless jokes to kind of break up the awful, soul-crushing details that you bring us.
I try and you try, and that's what makes it great.
Yeah, I mean, stop being upset. We are trying our best.
And honestly, we're weird people. We find this makes it a little more palatable to get through the horrible details of some of the worst true crime.
Yeah, because otherwise, I just want to take an ice pick to my own eardrums.
I can't do it anymore.
No.
So if you're the type of person who finds, you know, Weekend at Bernie's the most hilarious movie ever, we might be up your alley.
Give us a try.
Absolutely. Just look for Mental Illness Theater on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, or whatever platform you happen to use for podcasts. Thanks for listening, and bye.
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 Bye. Bye. They were the first podcast that I made friends with after, you know, after we started this.
Yeah. So
they're good people. They're from Canada. All the promos that I've been running have been from Canadian podcasts. So
nice.
So cool. When I say Canada binge, we're Canada binging.
Heck yeah.
Definitely check out Mental Illness Theater's series on the Nova Scotia massacres. It's like a 6-part series that they're right in the middle of. It's good. And it's something that I had no, it happened in 2020. I didn't even know anything about it.
Really?
Yeah.
Holy crap. Well, basically during
COVID. But it was during COVID, but still, I mean, something I found out about Canada, they basically put gag orders on all of their cases. That's why cases like that cult are so unknown. The Nova Scotia massacre is unknown and everything. So
wonder what else happened.
Yeah, right. Crimes, killers, cults, and Canada cases.
Yeah.
Try saying that 10 times fast.
No.
Most farmers would take their animals to a slaughterhouse or hire a butcher to come do it for them. The Pictons decided to cut out the middleman and do the slaughtering and butchering themselves. And by this time, Louise was the primary workhorse or work hog or duck on the farm. She was in charge and Leonard just kind of existed. Louise had the boys slot the pigs 3 times a day, early in the morning before the sun came up, after school, and at night, every single day. Wow. Not much time to have a life, much less enjoy it.
Yeah.
Willie dropped out of school at age 14. He had bought one of those pins with a lady on it where you turn it over and the clothes come off and you see the lady naked. Remember those?
Yeah, I remember those.
He brought it to school. I think bringing one of those to school was a rite of passage back then.
Yeah.
Because I know I had one and I brought it to school and I got caught with it.
I don't remember anything that happened that day.
I remember going home. That's about it. Kind of gray after that. I heard this loud shriek and then everything went black.
Woke up 3 weeks later.
But he brought it to school and got caught with it. And the principal said that he was going to beat Willie if he didn't hand over the pen. Willie didn't. Now the principal beat him. So Willie left school and never went back. Now, you would think that a good parent would be like, you know, you're in trouble. But this is Louise the duck we're talking about.
Yeah.
he then got 100% into his work, and Louise didn't have a problem with this because she now had a full-time worker that she didn't have to pay.
Mm.
So, in her infinite wisdom, she decided that Willie would be the slaughter guy and butcher.
You're gonna butcher those. You're gonna butcher them.
Mm.
Quack.
I don't know if I say this later on, but she was known to have a really shrill, annoying voice. I think it's later on in the notes. It should have been earlier, but that's why I'm doing that voice. But Willie didn't want to do that though. But Louise got her way, and Willie began working for a local butcher who started showing him the trade. Before too long, the man took Willie as an apprentice, and Willie became a very skilled meat cutter. Put a knife in that. Because obviously that would give him skills to do other things.
Yeah.
Now we're going to take a look at the Picton, where the Picton family gets its first murder. Take a guess who.
I don't want to spoil it.
It was Dave.
Dave.
Ooh. Actually, it wasn't Dave. It involves Dave, but it wasn't Dave that actually did the moita.
Huh.
Dave, Willie's younger brother, had stayed in the school, and he had friends, and he even dated, and he gotten his driver's license when he was 16, and that made him think he was king of the world. Wherever he went, he was driving. So on October 16th, 1967, Dave was speeding down the road, and he was going so fast he didn't see 8-year-old Timothy Barrett walking down the street on his way home from a friend's house. He hit Timothy hard and launched him into the air. He stopped and checked on him, and he wasn't moving. So Dave panicked, and he drove home, and he told his parents. So what do you think happens next? Take a guess. You think he was punished?
I don't think so.
You would be right, because Louise goes into damage control mode, and she couldn't lose a farmhand after all. She told Dave, don't worry about it. She just told him to wash all the blood off the truck and take it to a local mechanic to pop out the dent and paint over it. Oh, man. She then went to the scene of the accident where Timothy was still lying in the street. And Louise just rolled him off the street and into a ditch like she was moving a tree branch out of her way.
God dang.
Dave took the truck to the mechanic and saying that it had to be fixed right away. And this was around 8 p.m. Nobody, you know, you're not taking a customer's truck in at 8 p.m. if you're just a local, you know, mechanic.
Yeah.
Like, bring it to me tomorrow. Trying to eat dinner here.
Right. I got to fix that shit.
Got pork and duck. Pork and duck. But Dave was insisting that it had to be done right then, and he was nervous and panicky. The truck was scratched and had dents all over it, but Dave was insisting that this one dent in particular had to be fixed.
What would be the point? Just one.
Never mind that dent, I want this one fixed.
Maybe he assumed the whole town knew exactly which dents were already there, and like, no, that dent's unique. That's a new dent. I gotta get that new dent out. People are keeping count.
We've got to get that new dent out, eh?
Right?
The mechanic smartly said that he wanted nothing to do with that, and he sent Dave on his way. He's like, get out of here. Get. The next day, the mechanic heard that there had been a hit and run accident, and he kind of put two and two together and called the police. They came and they took samples of the paint off, and it matched the paint flakes that were found on Timothy. Timothy died, and when his father, when Timothy didn't come home, he searched desperately for most of the night for him. And the next morning, he went out again, and he himself saw Timothy's shoe on the road, and then Timothy's dad found Timothy dead in the ditch. The autopsy showed that he had broken bones, but it wasn't the force of being hit by the truck that killed him. Timothy had drowned.
Huh.
And he the probably
ditch had water in it, or it just lungs filled up with blood?
No, ditch had water in it.
He probably would have survived
if they had just reported it. He probably would have survived.
Yeah.
But this is Canada we're talking about, though.
Mm-hmm.
Louise had killed Timothy, but the blame was put on Dave. And he was charged with failing to remain at the scene of an accident. Not vehicular manslaughter or vehicular homicide or anything. Well, I guess it wouldn't be vehicular homicide because he didn't mean to run the kid down. So it would have been vehicular manslaughter.
Yeah.
The rumor mill had judged Louise on her role in Timothy's death, but she had bragged about it and used it as threats to her sons about what she was capable of. You remember that poor Timothy? I pecked him into the ditch. Quack.
Quack. Quack.
Man. Too bad they didn't say waddled like a goose, because Canadian geese are freaking vicious.
Yeah.
They really are. And we have geese down here. They come. When it gets too cold up there for them, they come down here.
And yeah, you don't want to bother them, man. They will.
No. In fact, we probably see the Canadian geese here more than they do in Canada because it's, you know, it's hell, because of the warmth here, a lot of them probably just stay.
Probably. You know, for every one Quebec license plate you see here in Florida, you'll probably see two geese following it.
Yeah. Those Canadian geese, man. Have you ever been henpecked by one of them? I have.
No, not yet.
Those things are mean.
Mm-hmm.
So, but the fact that Louise was bragging about killing Timothy probably registered in Willie's mind that you could, in fact, get away with murder. Maybe not a conscious realization, just a thought lurking around in his mind.
You know what, eh? I could get away with killing people, eh?
Yeah.
Because I'm Canadian, and I don't know, I got none. I've been doing good so far, and then I just come up with nothing there. Damn. Maybe I should start drinking beer again. So, Louise was just evil, but Forrest, I mean, Willie referred to them as two peas in a pod.
Mm.
He loved his mama. Willie took to being the slaughterer and the butcher, and by the mid-70s, he was butchering 24 animals a day, and that's an impressive number.
That is. Yeah. Wow.
24. But you have to figure that can't be good for your mental health.
No.
The whole reason for Willie becoming the butcher was to cut costs, and that's something that the Pictons were always known for, is cutting costs on everything. But they cut costs even more the way Willie would kill the pigs. You know, there's a fast way to do it, which uses a bolt gun that's supposed to be painless, although the pigs are fully aware of what's going on. Pigs are smart.
Oh, yeah. Very.
Yeah. You know, I mean, I'm allergic to pork, but I don't think we should be eating pigs or octopus for that matter.
Oh, I know. Yeah.
Because they're highly intelligent, too.
Very.
Like both pigs and with pigs and octopus are smart. They're smarter than dogs.
Mm-hmm. Well, look at raccoons too.
Yeah, we don't eat them.
No, not yet.
Not yet. You know the constellation, the Big Dipper and the Little Dipper. They're also known as the Big Bear and the Little Bear.
Yeah,
because they have like then the handles are said to be tails on the bear.
Crap, I don't remember. Yeah.
Yeah. But have you ever looked at the general shape of a body? Now, with a bear like on all fours?
Yeah.
Now think about this, about a raccoon. Similar.
Yeah.
They're similar. They're similar in their shape. And the raccoons have the tails.
Yeah. Hmm. Yeah.
I know they're not related, but things that make you go,
Part of our research.
Yeah.
We do that on the side.
Raccoons are related to bears. You heard it here first.
Yes. Yeah. They're mini me's.
But Willie used a nail gun just right into the head, and then he would slit their throats and hoist it up by a hook that he had put in their ankle. And this drained the blood even faster and made butchering faster and easier.
Mm.
And put a knife in that.
Mm.
Willie had no social life, but Dave did. And in 1974, he had a girlfriend, Sandy. he had knocked her up, and then she moved on to the farm.
Well, I gotta wonder what kind of girl would date Picton, much less get naked with one, then move into that disgusting farm.
Oh, I know. I mean, that's
say, two pigs in a pod.
two pigs on the poke.
Yeah. Piggies in a blanket.
With a duck. but the Pictons were very wealthy, and that might have something to do with women, you know, the type of women that would, you know, do it. It kind of attracts a specific type of girl, you know, the kinds that like to dig, you know.
Yeah.
Gold diggers. You all right, man?
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
My mind is wondering. Yeah. That attracts a specific type of girl.
Gold digger.
Gold digger.
Quack. Quack. Sandy had a baby girl named Tammy, and a year later after that, they had a boy named Douglas John, or DJ. Sandy became a farmhand, working 12-hour days along with Dave, Willie, and Louise. Remember, I said Leonard was just a bump on the log at this point, and his health had been deteriorating. Louise had hired two other farmhands who also lived there on the farm. Willie was a loner. He didn't drink or do drugs, and he hardly ever even left the farm. But he would go elsewhere for extra work, including into the U.S. He did, however, participate in 1970s social media. He had a lot of female pen pals and he would write back and forth to. There were magazines with people's contact information in them, and you could write them. You remember that heavy metal magazine, Metal Edge?
Yeah.
They had the metalhead directory in the back of each issue.
Yeah.
I did that a few times. You know, back in 1989, 1990, there was this girl named Nicola in Minnesota that I wrote back and forth with several times with her. We'd talk about our favorite bands and stuff like that. So if you're listening, Bill from Florida says, hi, hit me up.
Yeah, right.
What you been up to, Nicole or Nicola? One of the women who he wrote to was named Connie Anderson. She was of Pontiac, Michigan. Wouldn't that be weird if she were also from Minnesota?
One state away.
Yeah. He actually took a trip to go meet her, and the plan was for him to stay for 5 weeks. And Connie was tall and heavy set, and Willie was in love. He took bus rides to go see her, and it took 6 weeks of bus rides going from Kansas City to St. Louis to Chicago, and that's not exactly a straight shot from Vancouver to Pontiac.
No.
He was seeing the sights. He said he was really afraid of black people. He said that you had to be really careful at night in Chicago because it was really rough out there. So add racist to his resume there too. I mean, it would be one thing if you could say, I'd never seen a black person before. That's fine.
Yeah.
But you don't say, oh, you got to be really careful. Them black people, man, it gets really rough out there, eh? You know, you can't say that.
But, yeah, exactly. But, yeah. That must have been another thing that he got taught. I don't know.
I doubt it. That's something that he just kind of probably came on his own, and he probably wound up just afraid because they were different. You know, they looked different than him. Yeah. I don't think it's probably something that he, you know, adopted like right there on the spot. I would, that'd be my guess at least.
Yeah. And depending on, yeah, you know, the demographics of where he grew up.
I mean, if he was in Kansas City and St. Louis, I mean, yeah, there's still some racism going. Hell, St. Louis is still racist as hell today. I mean, I don't know about Kansas City, but St. Louis, I mean, there's all sorts of issues due to gentrification and stuff like that going on. And, you know, St. Louis, they got problems there. But, you know, that's not the fault of any black person. That's the fault of them not having the money to, you know, live in these areas that they're building on top of the areas that they used to live in.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, social system issues.
Yeah. And that kind of plays a role when we get into part two with the indigenous, women that, you know, from the Vancouver area, you know, they're kind of looked on as second class citizens, and I'm getting ahead of myself here, but they're kind of looked, you know, second class citizens and, you know, like lesser, considered by law enforcement to be like lesser people.
What?
Yeah.
And they're the indigenous. They're the natives.
They're the indigenous. They're the natives. Yeah. And it's kind of like how black people were treated, you know, in the 80s and the 90s, like in lost places like Los Angeles.
Mm.
It's a shame.
Yeah.
I've always said that I hope like a KKK member gets in some sort of an accident where he's like dying and a black man not only saves his life, donates blood to keep him alive.
I think that probably happened.
I'm sure it has, but
yeah.
What do you think that KKK guy did after that?
Left. I don't know.
I don't know. I mean, it depends on just how racist they were. I mean, if you know, you get some of these guys that just irrationally hate for no reason. Shit, I got that blood in me now. Blow his brains out.
Yeah, I think that happened. Well, something similar happened. I think I remember reading about this. One of the grand poobahs of the KKK. Something happened in. Something happened to him and he was helped by a black guy or a family or something like that. And then his whole, everything shifted and he awarded the grand poobah awarded him and his family something.
Forgot what it was. So he wasn't racist anymore?
No, he wasn't racist anymore.
Good. Good. But I, for every case like that, I'd say there's probably two where the guy just either offs himself or just goes insane.
Yeah.
You know what? The guys you're talking about, props to you. It's about time better late than never for you to learn, I guess.
Exactly.
But for the people that can't deal with it and off themselves, here, I'll hand you a bullet.
Yeah. Yep. Stop living back in centuries ago.
There's so many other things to be pissed off about these days than the color of somebody's skin.
Right.
Like for the fact that you can't go into a fucking grocery store, get four items and spend less than $65.
Yeah.
Anyway.
I went to freaking Denny's. You know, I went to Denny's yesterday. Got a grand slam without the pork.
Did it cost you a grand?
No. Probably close to it. I remember going to Denny's and getting a grand slam and it was like about 10 bucks, just under 10 bucks.
Now it's like 20 or 18.
20. It was $17.99. Holy crap. 18 bucks. Holy crap.
And then the $3 glass of soda.
Yeah. Yeah. That's why I had water.
$2.
All right.
I mean, I can remember when I was a teenager going into, you know, like McDonald's and like a value, like a number one, you know, the single combo or whatever. It was like $3.35. And that was with a large fry and a large drink.
Yep.
Now just the frickin' fry itself costs $3.35.
Yeah. Just the fries. It's like, good God.
Yeah. But anyway, hashtag, but I digress. But. Actually, a while back, somebody who was who worked in the payroll for one of the fast food chains, mm-hmm. you know, told me that that the cost of a value menu is based on what the current hourly wage was. Mm-hmm. So if minimum wage is $3.35, which it was when I was a teenager. Yeah. Then that's what the value meal is going to cost. Now the value meal is going to cost you like $12 and, you know, their hourly wage is like $10 to $12 an hour. So it makes perfect sense.
So that means in California, it's probably about an $18 value menu.
Yeah.
Man.
I'm sorry. I'm not paying $18 for a value meal at McDonald's.
Me neither. Oh, man.
Oh. So along the way, according to Willie, rat-faced, filthy, stinking Willie was approached by a magazine asking him to be a model.
What?
This is according to Willie. He turned it down, and it was $40 an hour. But he was just there to see Connie and to find out what living in the U.S. was like. And according to Willie, they got engaged, although it didn't work out because she was the love of his life, but she couldn't leave her job, and Willie couldn't leave the farm. They were star-crossed lovers. Cue sad music. We don't have sad music. We need to put sad music in. Do you eat cherry pie on George Washington's birthday?
I don't know.
I don't either. I don't know anybody who does.
I don't. Yeah, that's a lost tradition.
I don't think it ever was a tradition.
Probably not.
Yeah. I mean, Willie said that Americans are obsessed with cherry pie on George Washington's birthday, referring to the tale of George Washington chopping down the cherry tree as a boy. He said, everybody was insisting I eat the cherry pie, but I don't like cherry pie. Eh?
I've heard it tastes so good, it makes a grown man cry.
Sweet cherry pie!
I prefer the blueberries.
I don't think that's the type of cherry pie that he was referring to. And I think if it was, it would be a much more festive occasion in the U.S.
Yeah.
That was bad.
I wonder if that's how they made that comedy movie out of, based on, American Pie.
I doubt it had anything to do with Willie Picton or George Washington. But when he got back, he bought a golden Palomino colt named Goldie, and this was his most prized possession, but he never rode the horse. Goldie was just his friend, and he had Goldie for the horse's entire life. Mm. New Year's Day, 1978, Leonard finally went to that big pig farm in the sky.
Woohoo.
He died at 81 years old, and he had been senile, and it was getting worse for years, so it really was just a matter of time. Huh. Also in 1978, Sandy began getting tired of Dave, and, he was cheating on her, and in January of 79, she took the kids and she split. Hmm. Later in 1979, Louise died, and Willie was devastated. And as she had been, she had been declining the last years of her life as well, and Willie had been taking care of her, feeding her, bathing her, and dressing her. Dave, on the other hand, couldn't have cared less. Because Dave was busy reinventing himself. He started hanging around with the Hell's Angels, who once again make an appearance in the Canada Bench.
Yeah.
Four of the six cases that we've covered, the Hell's Angels are involved.
Yeah. That's some synchronicity for you.
Yeah. I had no idea. I knew the Hell's Angels were involved in the Willie Picton case. I knew that. And I obviously knew they were in the Quebec Biker War. But the other two episodes, I had no clue that they were involved.
Hmm. Wow.
So Dave moved his new girlfriend Vicky with him, and Vicky's younger sisters Samantha and Allison began visiting Vicky at the farm. Willie was actually really good to kids. He'd take them on horse rides and let them play with the piglets, and he even taught them how to make sausage from a meat grinder that he kept in his bedroom of all places.
What? His bedroom?
His bedroom. That's a good place for a
That's awkward.
Although going back to the Bell Gunness case, she kept one of those big old huge meat grinders on the top shelf, supposedly. Those things are too heavy to be. We covered that. We talked about that in the episode. Those things are too heavy to be on the top shelf.
Yeah.
Especially back then. They were made out of cast iron.
Yeah. Yeah. Man.
But at the time, there was a lot of nice land with green grass and flowers, but they also remember the sledge pit where Willie would put pig remains and that psycho dog, as they called it. But the more Dave scraped off the property, the more dismal it looked because he had started a topsoil business.
Oh.
So basically strip mining the nice land that was on that property.
Yeah.
If they kept going, eventually it would have become like a big hole, like a small quarry, you know?
Yeah.
We have those in Florida. We actually have dirt quarries in Florida. Not a lot of people think that there would be a quarry in Florida, but there are. It's dirt.
Yeah.
Not rocks, it's dirt, but still, it's the same thing.
Yeah.
So the farm was left to Dave and Willie, and the huge amount of money from Louise and Leonard's bank account was divided between Dave, Willie, and Linda. But Louise had done Willie dirty. She put in the will that Dave and Linda got their money after a short time, but Willie would have to wait until he was 40 to get his, and he could only get it if he stayed working on the farm. However, the three did get some immediate cash, and Willie did get significantly more than the other two.
It wasn't necessarily dirty. Maybe she just wanted to make sure they didn't sell the farm.
Yeah, I was kind of thinking that too, but Willie took it as dirty, but he was, yeah. Willie took it as dirty. He was 30.
30 dirty.
Dirty. He was dirty.
Yeah.
So he was trapped there for at least another 10 years. But if Louise had died first when Leonard died, then Leonard had it in his will that it would have been divided three ways right then and there. And it's like, okay, too bad Louise didn't die first. That
should have called JG Wentworth. 1-800 cash now.
I have a structured settlement and I need cash now. Call JG Wentworth 877 cash now.
I don't even see those commercials anymore.
Those commercials are great.
Yeah.
And if that jingle is now stuck in your head because of me, sorry, not sorry. Yeah, it's not like that was all the money he had. You know, just that advance that he got. The farm itself was still bringing in a shitload of money. So it's not like, yeah, but so I think what you were saying about him, maybe they wanted to make sure that they didn't sell the farm. But there's probably a lot of merit to that.
Yeah.
So the Hell's Angels were notorious in Vancouver and known for their criminal activity and drug-fueled parties. Dave was enamored with them and he wanted to join. Yeah, David also had taken over the business aspect of the farm and Willie did the dirty work, which was fine with Willie. They also included packaging the meat, or this also included packaging the meat to be sold. Willie also came up with a great idea to make even more money, and he brought in even more freezers. And he rented the space out to people so that they could store their meat and not have to worry about keeping it at their place, like a storage facility for beef, poultry, and pork.
That was clever.
Yeah. Yeah. No word if they auctioned.
Did they auction off the space if someone didn't pay their bill, like storage facilities do?
Who knows? And also, what's to stop them from... You didn't give me no meat. Well, they probably had a receipt though. Mm. Claim number or whatever.
Yeah.
So nobody's just going to drop it off and say, here you go. I'll give you $20 a week or whatever.
Yeah. Pay in advance. Automatically debit at the beginning of the month.
What happens if that freezer went down?
Yeah, you got to get rid of that meat quick.
Well, not only that, I mean, they made a lot of money from that. I seriously doubt he took out insurance on it.
Yeah.
So if those freezers go down, guess what?
You better have trouble. You better have some maintenance people on speed
dial. And if the meat spoils, you owe all your customer money.
Yeah.
Because you know he didn't. You know they didn't take out insurance on those.
No. No. That's or have me. An H. Yeah, you wouldn't have an HVAC guy on staff.
No, it was around this time in the early 80s that sex workers began disappear. Actually, the late 70s that sex workers began disappearing from downtown Eastside. Mm-hmm. Willie had begun showing up there, and he was a known regular customer. And he had a bit of a reputation as a weird and sometimes mean, but he was rich and everybody knew it. He would also provide these women with drugs, and this is why, despite his reputation, women wouldn't hesitate to get into his disgusting and smelly truck and go all the way out to the farm with him. Like I said, it's about 25 or 30 miles away. The Vancouver PD and the RCMP just looked at this as like police do when sex workers go missing, like black sex workers in the U.S. They just... They just went to a different city to work, eh? Mm. No, they didn't. There was a hotel called the Astoria there where many of these sex workers stayed and worked, and I kind of pictured this one as like the Cecil.
Yeah.
Willie would pick up many of the women from the bar at that place, and police considered these women to be throwaway people. Sex workers were criminals, and if one of them disappeared, police would have one less criminal to prosecute for prostitution and drugs. In fact, Vancouver's mayor at the time, Gordon Campbell, had this to say. Take it, Paul.
While the murders of these prostitutes is unfortunate, their deaths are ultimately for the best because citizens want them off the streets.
Can you imagine if a mayor said that today? He wouldn't be the mayor anymore.
Mm-mm. Nope.
They would. He'd be gone within a month. He'd be kicked out. The Picton Farm was becoming known for a place for hardcore parties that featured strippers, sex workers, and drugs. And around this time, Willie had discovered a knack for working on cars. He said that taking apart a car wasn't that much different than taking apart a pig. Huh. This became a side hustle for him, and it made him even more money because it quickly became a chop shop for stolen vehicles. Before too long, large chunks of their property looked like junkyards.
Oh, and I saw pictures of that online.
It looks really nice, doesn't it?
God.
I need an alternator for a 78 Oldsmobile.
Right.
I got one over here. It's kind of got pig blood on it.
Yeah.
Air quotes, pig blood. But Dave was stoked about this because this got the Hell's Angels to be associates with them. And before too long, the Picton Farm was a Hell's Angels party pad. And later, they had an actual clubhouse there. Willie claimed that he had purchased these vehicles from auction, which he hadn't initially. He had initially, so he had papers from some of the cars, but the truth is they were running a chop shop for the Hell's Angels.
Mm.
In 1981, Willie hired several teenagers as farmhands, and you know, so that he could work the chop shop. And Dave also had a demolition business that he had started. I'm not sure that I'd hire Dave to take down a building, but what do I know?
Yeah. Damn.
Teenage farmhands that Willie, you know, they thought that Willie was weird and he was constantly on edge, and he paid them sometimes in money and sometimes in pork. But soon he stopped paying them in money, only pork. And if they protested, he would tell them that he knew how to make people disappear. One of the boys said that he had gotten some meat from Willie, but it didn't look right. He said it wasn't a fatty marbled ham. It wasn't frozen. It had a dark color and stringy texture to it. And he wasn't sure what kind of meat it was, but he was sure that it was not pork.
Yeah. Could have been a neighbor.
There is one kind of meat is dark with a stringy texture. That's human meat. There's no evidence that Willie was killing in early 81, but the sex workers had started disappearing around that time, you know, like the late 70s. And the teenage farmhand had described human meat.
Mm.
By now, the Hell's Angels were coming and going on their Harleys at all hours of the day and night. And they had bullied teenagers into stealing cars for them. The Hell's Angels were paying the teenagers, so the teenagers didn't care. Like, okay, Willie's not paying his money. All right, we'll go steal a car.
Yeah.
Oh, hey there. You like true crime stories, right? Yeah, I know. Who doesn't? But I gotta admit, after a while, all those stories of murder and heartache, well, they tend to go straight to my hips. So that's why I, Leroy Luna, have created a podcast called Excuse Me, That's Illegal, where we'll take a hardcore look at some softcore crimes. No TED Talks on Bundy here. The letters BTK won't be coming from these lips. Unless he had a brother that used to steal library books. Suppose I'd be willing to go balls deep into that one if that were the case. Anyways, you'll hear stories such as The Mad Pooper, a female jogger who wreaked havoc in a Colorado Springs neighborhood, using one family's front yard as her own personal dumping grounds. If this kind of content sounds like it's up your alley, Excuse Me, That's Illegal, is available right now on all your favorite podcatchers. So come join me.
I'll be right here waiting for you.
People were coming up with their own theories about what was going on at the farm.
Yeah.
Yeah. I wonder if they're out there making snuff films.
Right.
That was a rumor that was floating around. Police discovered that the Pictons and the Hells Angels were using the teenagers as cars, and they seized some of the vehicles that hadn't been stripped down, and they turned out to be stolen vehicles. They also found it odd how Willie, they also noticed how odd Willie was describing him as having just a blank and a modish, and describing him as having just a blank and emotionless look about him. Damn.
I guess it's probably from killing 25 pigs a day.
That'll do it.
Yeah. I mean.
But night. Willie preferred to slaughter at night.
Yeah. I mean.
In Florida. I
never made friends with like a medical examiner or a technician at the morgue, but I'm sure they're pretty got interesting personalities.
Yeah. But slaughtering at night in Florida makes sense. It's not as hot.
Yeah.
It would, but that smell is still going to be there. I mean,
oh, yeah.
Go drive right down the turnpike and everything. You go by Mount Trashmore in Fort Lauderdale.
Yep.
They think they could have picked a better place for that landfill than right there in the middle of a major area.
And what I don't understand is so close. That is so close to the water table. The place is like literally floating.
Yeah. It's
God.
And I think that's probably the tallest landfill in Florida too.
Yeah, I think so. Probably higher than Claremont.
Yeah.
Which is higher in elevation than another place in a state. So for those who are listening, they're like, where's Claremont?
The suburb of Orlando.
Yeah.
Dave and Willie were constantly fighting over the farm, and it was likely because Dave was doing all Dave was doing at this point was partying while Willie did all the work. They would also fight because it seemed like Willie was getting even filthier as time went on. His room would flood during the rainy season, and it would turn everything in the basement into a sickly layer of mud and shit. Dave's girlfriend, Vicky, she got sick of it and split, and Dave quickly got a new girlfriend named Kathy. Now, this is interesting. The police ultimately abandoned the stolen car investigation, not because it's Canada, and that's what they do, but they were trying to catch a sick serial killer that had been killing children and teenagers. 11 of them in the area for 18 months between 1980 and 1981. Mm. His name was Clifford Olson. One victim, Janet Henry, who survived an attack from Olson, fell on hard times and wound up working the streets later on in life in Vancouver's downtown east side. And she disappeared in 1997, and it's believed that she was one of Willie's victims. And she was never found, and he was never charged for her murder. Hmm. Olson, however, he was convicted of 11, and he did something so sick, it's all I'm going to do is say to put a knife in that, because we're going to cover him sometime in the future. But Olson was Canada's worst serial killer until Willie Picton. Mm-hmm. And yeah, that's crazy. You survive one serial killer only to get grabbed by another.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's just... Huh. That's just horrific. The Picton farm was now a full-blown party spot, and meanwhile, Willie was still working as hard as he ever did. And it was also a place to go if you were in trouble or down on your luck, and the Pictons would give you a place to sleep and feed you in exchange for work. You know, it might be the backseat of a stripped Oldsmobile, but at least you'd have a place to sleep, and it was safer than sleeping on the street. Unless a pig tried to come up in there and snuggle up with you.
Yeah.
Oink. Drugs were all over the place there, and Dave was constantly trying ways to further endear himself to the Hell's Angels. Willie wouldn't participate at the parties other than cooking the pig roast. You know, it's easy to get laid when everybody around you is doped up on alcohol, crack, and who knows what else. But Dave would send women Willie's way from time to time. Mm. But before too long, the farm was pretty much a free-for-all. Whoever wanted to party could, and there was all the drugs and liquor and sex you could ever want. Sounds like my kind of place. Not.
No.
Nope.
maybe a long time ago. Long time ago. When I didn't
well, care. My nose works.
Yeah.
I don't think that that's a place that I would go to. Mm-mm. Just because of the smell. Even if I was a druggie biker. No, if I was a druggie, then I'd want to go before I could get free drugs. So yeah, I probably would. I've never been a druggie before, though.
Yeah.
But when Willie wasn't working, he stayed in his room, which was his basement, which is why it flooded when the floods came. But he valued his privacy, and he liked to be left alone. In 1986, a woman named Karen was invited to a party by her sister, Kathy. Kathy was a musician. This isn't the same Kathy that Dave is dating. Mm. It's different Kathy. She had a gig at a bar in Vancouver, and she knew Dave, and she said that Karen would like him. Karen met Dave, and they became friends, although she avoided Willie, and all of Dave's girlfriends avoided Willie, and that was how Willie liked it. Because yeah, he and Dave hadn't been getting along, and sometimes Dave would bring people into Willie's room just to antagonize him. Yeah. Dave's a dick.
Yeah.
Karen later married a man named Jim, and they would later have kids. Yeah, but they were friends with Dave for years. One night, Dave brought Karen and Kathy into Willie's room, and the room was filthy from the floor to the ceiling. All that there was for a bed was a filthy mattress on the floor with a large black spot in the middle of it. And there was a horse's head mounted on the wall. When Goldie, Willie's horse, had broken its leg, Willie had to put him down. And, you know, he then had him stuffed and mounted. And Goldie only lived to be 4 years old.
Oh, wow.
There were three coats of arms showing the Picton's ancestry, and there was a bookcase with books on local history as well. And these were Willie's prized possessions. While they were down there, Willie walked in and found them there, and he went nuts screaming, and he spit in Kathy's face, threatening to kill her if she ever came into the room again. And as time went on, the women became more and more afraid of Willie. And one night at dinner, out of nowhere, Willie got mad and threw a glass of milk in Karen's face. They bolted, and they later said that they saw Willie feeding their guard dog, a huge, mean German Shepherd, meat from the farm, and they just described this meat as dark and stringy.
Yeah.
They then stopped eating meat from the farm. So we don't have a known murder yet, but there are definitely signs. You know, and another thing that make you go, was at these parties, Willie would roast a pig, but he would never use one of his own pigs. He would always buy one from another farmer, and his excuse would always be that his pigs were sick at the time. And there, like I said earlier, there were rumors about the Pictons making snuff films on the farm. Now, this is interesting. Willie's pigs weren't sick every time they had a party and butchered a pig. Yeah. So Willie would go out and buy a pig. Why wouldn't he want to use one of his own pigs?
Because they weren't pigs.
Well, they, I mean, it might have had something to do with what he was feeding them.
Yeah.
Doesn't want his friends or his associates and everything to be eating people.
Yeah.
Soylent Pig is people!
Right.
Dave's a piece of shit too, but he's never killed anybody that we know of. But he was convicted of rape, and there are countless stories about him belittling women to their faces and doing it in front of crowds. He called them fat pigs and tell them that their food would be coming when Willie fed all the other pigs. Nice guy.
Wow.
As for the rape charge, he had moved a trailer onto the property onto a property that his construction company was working, and some of them and his employees. Okay, I'm just going to start that over again. As for the rape charge, he had moved a trailer onto a property as an office for him and his employees on a site that he was clearing. He followed a female worker in there and he raped her, and he was fined $1,000 for this, which he probably had cash in his wallet. You know, the woman, you know, I mean, he was given probation for this and the fine. Mm. And then the woman obviously left.
I'm surprised it was a fine. Like, oh, we're going to fine you for it. You know, really? Come on.
And do the victims actually get the fine? No. It goes to the state.
Yeah.
I've always thought that was fucked up.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that fine should go to the victim.
Exactly.
But Willie had been.
With interest.
With interest, yeah. Willie had been going more and more frequently down to the downtown east side. And the main reason was because of the West Coast rendering, a rendering plant that Willie would bring biomatter that couldn't be used. You know, it was bones, carcasses, unusable meat, feathers, fur, dead animals, kitchen grease, etc. But one thing you don't take to the rendering plant is meat, unless it was spoiled. And Willie's shipments would have meat included in with the slop. The slop is then ground up and liquefied and used in things like soap, cosmetics, paint, animal feed, even some candy like gummy bears, for example.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. If you're eating gummy bears, you're eating bugs. You're eating rendered slop from lots of gelatinous things are render processing.
Soylent Green.
It's people. That movie doesn't really hold up. That's one I wouldn't mind seeing a remake done.
Yeah. Yeah. There's definitely some movies, some really good science fiction movies from the 60s and 70s mm-hmm. that are just really cool.
And I would welcome, like, if they remake the Breakfast Club, I'm going to go postal. Or The Princess Bride.
Oh, I know. Yeah. But you know, you're probably speaking too soon. They're probably already thinking about it.
Oh, you know they are.
Yeah.
I mean, what was that big remake that they just came out with?
Oh, crap.
That's off my tongue.
There's way too many.
Oh, the Crow. The Crow.
Oh, yeah.
I haven't seen the remake, and I'm not going to.
Me neither. I don't even want to see it. That's dishonoring the family.
What they should have done is just made another Crow movie.
Exactly.
Like just the sequels to The Crow with a different actor, different story.
And use the actor as his spirit or something like that. Just,
because The Crow 2 and The Crow 3, they were different, you know, a different victim that came back to get revenge. Yeah. And it was the mysticism of The Crow and everything that helped him do it. It was basically the same story. It was the same principle, but different story. They should have just made another Crow movie, not mm-hmm. remake the original.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, when Crow 2 and 3 came out, nobody had a problem with that. Because it wasn't a remake of the original film.
Yeah.
They should have just made another remake. You know, or they should have just made another sequel, The Crow 4 or whatever.
True. What did you think about Karate Kid when they redid Karate Kid?
I've never even seen The Karate Kid.
Oh, wow.
I have seen Crossroads, and I have a hard time imagining Ralph Macchio with a Fender Telecaster and a slide piece out dueling Steve Vai.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
The movie is a good remake.
Yeah.
It's a good movie, but no, some schmuck with a freaking slide piece on a Fender Telecaster is not going to out duel Steve Vai. It's a great movie though. I love the movie, but just that scene is just a little, you know, I've seen clips of the Karate Kid where he's like, you know, fighting and whatnot. It looks just so corny and everything.
Yeah.
Well, him playing that Telecaster is the same thing. And it just looks awkward. It looks stupid. And Steve Terryberry on his YouTube page, he does this thing as like, if it were, you know, it's like, you know, guitar ficus, and he plays what it would sound like if it was actually being played. And it's hilarious. He'll actually watch the video, figure out what they're doing with their hands on the neck.
Yeah.
And he would play it like that. And it's just like, ding, ding, ding.
True. Well, Roadhouse. You seen the new Roadhouse?
I have not, but I've actually heard that one's not bad.
It's not. I've been hearing, I have to admit, I watched it only because I was bored one day. I'm like, it popped up. I'm like, okay, there you go. Cool. All right. I watch it. I'm bored. Yeah. And now, yeah, it's special effects, and yeah, it has its own energy. If there wasn't a previous movie called Roadhouse with Patrick Swayze, then people wouldn't be giving it such crap.
I don't know. I've seen the original, but I mean, I'm not one of these. I'm not one of these freaking meatheads that sits there and jerks off to that movie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. If there wasn't another movie that it was based off of, people wouldn't have a problem with it.
Well, that's just, you know, the original one, it's just one of these things. It's like, okay, let's pick a random occupation and Hollywoodize it. Yeah. Like they did the same thing with like the Tornado Chasers and Twister.
Oh, yeah.
Like that doesn't happen. You don't have two rival things acting like freaking street gangs battling for turf.
Right. It'd be fun.
It would be fun.
Yeah.
But, oh, man. Oh, and that show JAG. It's like,
oh, yeah.
They've got Judge Advocate General. There's basically military attorneys. And they've got them out there like doing special ops missions and stuff like that. Like, shut up.
Mm-hmm.
I've only seen like one or two episodes of that. And I'm just like, do you even know what a JAG officer is? Because this ain't it.
Exactly.
Anyway, hashtag, but I digress. But he would take the rendering plant, you know, barrels and everything, and drop them off, and then on his way back he would stop and pick up a sex worker. And sometimes she would make it back, sometimes she wouldn't. I went on Google Maps and I looked up the West Coast production. The place is freaking huge, and the area that it's in is exactly what you would think of. You know, really? when you're the way that it's described, it's exactly that. Ooh. Industrial area with some rundown clubs and apartment buildings and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But it kind of reminded me of this place that I went in Chicago's East Side.
Mm.
Not a place you want to be.
No. No. I like Compton in California, or I've
been there too.
That's rough.
I'm a truck driver, man. I've been to some of these places. One time I had a student with me. I was a trainer and I had a student with me, older guy. And we were driving through South Central LA. Mm-hmm. It was at night, and there was this man that was like beating up a woman on the side of the street.
Ooh.
And he's like, should we stop and help? I'm like, dude, you want to get shot? Because that's how you get shot.
Yeah.
He's like, I said, yeah, but there could be a freaking gang of MS-13 inside that house just waiting for you to try to do something.
Yeah.
I said, you realize that we are literally maybe two blocks away from Reginald Denny was pulled out of his truck during the riots?
Mm.
We're literally two blocks away from that.
Oh.
Because I'd been to that place several times, and I was just kind of curious, so I looked it up, and yeah, where we were when that happened was about two blocks away from where Reginald Denny was pulled out of his trucks during the LA riots.
Wow.
Yeah, you do not want to stop.
No, nope.
Don't stop here. Do mm-hmm. not. Mm-mm.
There's places in South Florida like that. You get off of Okeechobee Boulevard. I remember some friends of mine, some film producers, they were doing their projects and stuff like that, and they were rolling in the back of a pickup truck doing some filming, you know, and some guy comes out of the freaking alleyway, starts shooting at him, and they put that on film. I'm like, nope, was not staged.
Nope. Yeah. I've been in some scary places in Florida, Chicago, LA. I just stay in Florida now.
Yeah.
My route doesn't take me to those places anymore. Yeah, the routes that I'm on now. So,
thank God.
Which is fine. Hashtag, but I digress again. That one was kind of on topic, though.
Yeah.
Kind of, because we were talking about the area where the rendering plant is. But this area was really bad. There's sex workers, the female ones, male ones, even trans sex workers, even underage ones. Any drugs that you can imagine, abandoned buildings that that Vietnam gang members were suspected as using for making snuff films. And it wouldn't be uncommon to hear somebody screaming at any given time.
Cool.
This was Willie Picton's hunting ground, and it's believed that serial killer Gary Ridgway may have been working that area at the exact same time. And then there were two.
Yeah.
But we're going to wrap up part one now. We're going to get to the murders in part two, and we're going to talk about how the government's indifference to sex workers and how indigenous women were and are routinely victimized and devalued by the police. I didn't realize we were done. but yeah, part two, this it's a lot. This is a big case. This is probably the biggest case that we've done. I'm just going to try to keep it at three parts, but if it goes to four, it wouldn't surprise me.
So, yeah. Yeah.
I mean, when you consider that the book that I'm using for source material is bigger than a Bible.
Oh yeah. That's how small are the words? I think you remember showing me. I was like,
they're probably, I would say probably like eight or 10 font.
Wow.
Yeah. So, man,
700 pages.
700 pages. That's the entire story. There's about 750 pages because there's a super long index, a super long bibliography. So it's about 750 pages, but 700 of it is the actual story. So, but
man.
Huh. Yeah, in part two, I mean, we're also going to get into that. I haven't finished the notes for part two yet, but part two, you know, there's a lot of interesting stuff in there. Lots of police head scratchers type stuff. And yeah. It's just, the stories. I'm glad we didn't try to tackle this one early on. It would have been worse than the original BTK episode.
which no longer exists.
You
know, and half the time too, I get this thought in my mind. I'm going, okay, with all the cases that CKCB's done, and all the serial killers that are still alive that are in prison, you know, and do they listen to podcasts?
Some do. Ed Kemper does.
Yeah.
And
do they follow them? Do they, you know, kind of keep sitting there waiting till their term is done? And if not, I'm like, I'm going to wait here because I got all the time in the world to wait until my case is talked about. Thinking that Willie's just sitting there going, all right.
Are there any people that you know that you wouldn't be surprised if it turns out that they were a serial killer?
I've met a couple.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah. I met one guy, don't even remember his name. I went into a bar one time. This is probably about 25 years ago. And a friend of mine that I went in there with, he knew the bar owner and happened to have been a guy that I was sitting next to at the bar. You know, somebody's, you know, kind of brings you into a conversation.
Yeah.
Even though you don't want anything to do with it.
Yeah.
They just bring you into the conversation. So I'm like, oh, okay. So I was forced into this conversation and I don't know, I guess I laughed wrong or looked at him wrong, and he pulls me off to the side and threatens me.
Damn.
And I was like, that's when my defenses go up and I'm like, I don't know what the heck I did, but from what my friend told me, he's like, dude, you were like calm. Like you were like just weirdly calm. Even though everybody else in that place, if it would have happened to them, would have shit their pants.
Yeah.
And I realized afterwards when we left that night that he had just gotten out of prison from killing his girlfriend.
Oh, nice guy. So he's trying to go right back.
Yep.
Damn. Yeah, there's a couple people that I know that that I don't like. They're pieces of shit, and if it comes out that they were serial killers, which I wouldn't be surprised if these two people specifically are, oh, we're covering them.
Oh yeah.
We're covering it. Cause I got inside information on these two fuck faces. I haven't said chucklehead yet. In this episode, I got inside information on these two chuckleheads.
Oh yeah.
One of them, I was married into the family and it was my ex-wife's uncle. And I would bet a lot of money that this guy is a serial killer. The other one, he's just a total piece of shit. And, you know, I've seen him trying to, you know, just intentionally try to pick fights with people for no freaking reason and stuff like that. And it just wouldn't surprise me. So
I've known people like that. I don't know. It's like they ain't got nothing better to do. Just pick fights with people. Random strangers too. It's
Like, and the only way that they're happy is if everybody around them is miserable.
Yep.
Yeah. People like that should just do us a favor and self-exit.
Yeah.
Anyway. We got a long way to go in this one. So thanks a lot for listening. We appreciate the hell out of it. We really do. And yeah, you know, like we said in the last episode, this podcast is a hell of a lot bigger than I realized that it was, which makes me very happy. Get some comments are starting to sprinkle in on the YouTube page, but let's hit up Apple and everything. Right now, there's only two comments on Apple. One of them is a 5-star. One of them is that 1-star from Team Maria 13 that says that we're boring and monotone. So yeah, but I think we overall on Apple we have like 3.5 to 4 stars ratings.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, follow us on social, especially the new Facebook CK Crime Show Skulls and Beer discussion pub on Facebook. All those links are in the notes. I mean, that one, I'm trying to build up that one and kind of phase out the other one that has a whole bunch of people in there. But
yeah, the Facebook discussion pub is a really, really cool place that you can just go and just, you know, talk about the last episode, you know, give us comments on, you know, what you think about some possible other cases that we can cover. And
or if you just want to tell us about your day, you can start your own threads on that one. That's specifically why I'm phasing out the other one, because you couldn't do that. I was the only person that could make posts. You can start topics in the pub. So, you know, Twitter, Instagram, X. And YouTube. So subscribe, share. If you like us, tell a friend. If you hate us, tell an enemy. And unless my co-host Paul here. Oh, by the way, I'm Bill.
And I'm Paul. Yeah, we forgot that at the beginning. Yeah, we did. Man. Well, hopefully by now people are going to know. But, you know, we're switching things up on this episode. We're putting it at the end. Long movies.
Yeah, this is the post. This is the post-credit scene of the episode. Oh man, it is a Canadian case. So, I'm just kidding, Canadians. Right? So,
no such thing as bad publicity.
No. Anyway, you know, if you like us, tell a friend. If you hate us, tell an enemy. Thanks for listening. And until next time, later.
Later on.